Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament. I'll be concluding the book of Malachi, the passages being those listed as being chapter 3 and chapter 4. And then, next Lord's Day, moving into the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But beginning with the passage listed as being chapter 3 in the book of Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So returning to the beginning of this passage of Scripture and even preceding it with the last words from the previous passage. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? These are the words of the Lord God Almighty through his servant, through Malachi. But they are directly from God Almighty and God the Son to this servant of God, delivered to the people of God, the holy people of God. And God Almighty says that these chosen people, these holy people, and again, this only pertains, of course, to Jews, to Hebrews, not to the Christian church. No, it has no relevance for the Christian church. The Christian church, so much of which disregards the Old Testament or a great deal of it. But no, this has no use for the Christian church, really. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Well, what application does that have? How about not only the wicked regimes, no, not just in communist China, communist North Korea, and every other communist regime on the face of the earth, not just the fascist regimes, not just the totalitarian regimes, but the regimes of the West, of former Christendom, in Europe, in Great Britain, United States of America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and what have you. But not just those regimes, but the church. And in this particular instance, I will include Jewry, all of the various different expressions of that. I will include Roman Catholicism, and I will include all of the apostate denominations of Christianity, even one created expressly for the purpose of championing the sodomite agenda, the metropolitan community abomination. And I'll include all the rest of the denominations for purposes of this. Wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. When ye say, God is love, and whatever is loving is of God and is pleasing to God. Sodomy, sodomites are pleasing to God. And God says, where is the God of judgment? God who condemns such as abomination, as an affront to him, as ones who will never inherit eternal life. So long as they embrace such evil, espouse such evil, promote such evil. Not only those that commit it, but those who enable it, empower it, legalize it, promote it, champion it. Sodomite marriage, perform such abominations. Where is the God of judgment? The Lord God Almighty says. In fury with the wickedness, the depravity of mankind in general, but specifically his people, his chosen people. Yes, that did pertain specifically to the Jews, to the Hebrews, and those who maligned themselves with them to live in accord with them under the law of the one true God. That did pertain in the Old Testament. Now, it pertains to Christendom, Christianity. Where is the God of judgment? Oh, well, that has no relevance. That has no application. We aren't interested in that. God Almighty, he's that God of judgment of the Old Testament. We love Jesus. Meek and mild, so meek, so weak, so mild, so loving. It is all of grace, 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 grace. And the Lord God Almighty goes on to send, behold, to say, behold. What does behold mean? Is that just some filler word? Is that just some pomp and circumstance? No, it's not. It's behold. Pay attention. Listen. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, whom ye say ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is a little bit confusing. Oh, no, no, we listen to Dr. So-and-so or whatever, and he says it's all easy to understand, nothing confusing, and so forth, and he leads us this way and that way and the other way astray. But it begins, behold, I will send my messenger, the Lord God Almighty of all creation. God the Father will send his messenger. Who is that? Well, he says of him that he, the messenger, shall prepare the way before me. Before me. Before the Lord God Almighty. Or, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Why is this confusing? Well, because it's speaking, it's understandable, it could be interpreted to mean it is Every time messenger is used, it's referring to Jesus, and Jesus is preparing the way for the Lord God Almighty. But in point of fact, the first time messenger is mentioned, it is referring to John the Baptist coming in the spirit of Elijah, who was taken into heaven without having passed away, the great prophet Elijah, whom Jewry waits for to return. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord Jesus Christ positively identified John the Baptist as being the messenger who prepared the way before him. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. The messenger of the covenant is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, yes, we know that because Lord only has a capital L. Whereas, then it says later on here, after, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, or say you delight in, pretend you delight in, you know, sing worship songs and dance in the aisles. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord, all caps. And it is taught by any number of teachers, pastors, and what have you, doctors, that Lord, which only has a capital L, is referring to Jesus, and Lord, which is all caps, is referring to God the Father. God the Father, God the Son. God the Son, only capital L. God the Father, all caps. However, as you read through the Old Testament, you find that's not so. You cannot definitively make such a determination. You simply can't. But regardless what you may have been told, taught, learned, what have you. Behold, I will send my messenger . Interestingly enough, John the Baptist is held in very low regard in any number of contemporary Christian churches. Very low regard, disparaged. Oh, he's an Old Testament throwback. He's a wild man, ignorant. Fearful, fearing God, all manner of slanderous, character assassinating things are said about John the Baptist. And yet, God Almighty, God the Father, describes him, John the Baptist, as being his messenger. And all manner of unfit, unworthy, hireling, hack ministers and worse, wolves in sheep's clothing, demean him and disparage him. I wonder why that is. He who prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's their way of demeaning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of many ways used. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, if that's referring to Jesus, what does it mean about suddenly coming to his temple? Jesus was born, raised, lived to the age of 30 before he embarked on his ministry, right? How does that fit with suddenly coming to his temple? When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he shall come very suddenly. When he returns, in the not distant future, not only not distant, but near future. But as I've said so many times before, those who claim erroneously, ignorantly, or worse, deceitfully, that the Lord Jesus Christ can come at any moment, that is a complete, utter falsehood. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot, will not return until everything that has been prophesied preceding his return has occurred. That is not to say that you or I cannot go to be with the Lord, that you or I cannot pass away before that. That is always a possibility. But who may abide the day of his coming? This messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, whom ye claim to delight in, to take pleasure in, to worship. Who may abide the day of his coming? Oh, well, I don't know what all that's about. Jesus is just love, all love. Meek and mild, so meek and mild, so loving, so kind, so genial and jolly, and all of these things that one hears. Is Jesus love? Yes. Perfect love. And perfectly just and true and righteous and holy. And when he comes suddenly, he will not be coming as the suffering servant to make atonement for those who should believe on him, but as the mighty, triumphant, only begotten Son of God. Who may abide the day of his coming? The day of his coming is going to be severe, harsh. Something that doesn't fit with how he has been misrepresented so terribly by so many for so long. Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Like a refiner's fire. What about meek and mild Jesus? Like a refiner's fire. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. How is it that gold and silver are purged? Do you imagine? It is by burning. There are different terms that can be used for that process. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them, cleanse them, as gold and silver, to remove impurities. To remove corruption, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Well, again, it's just jewelry. It's only jewelry. It doesn't apply to the Christian church. Really. This is immediately prior to the New Testament. This is testifying and prophesying concerning the coming of John the Baptist, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has fast-forwarded all the way past all of his suffering, his ministry, his suffering, his atoning sacrifice, his death, his entombment, his resurrection, his witnessing to the church, to the disciples, to his followers for 40 days, his ascension into heaven, and all of the time in between then and his sudden return. In these few portions of Scripture here, these few paragraphs, all of that time, the past two millennia, plus, oh, but it's only referring to the Jews, brother. Really? That's what's known as wishful thinking. And frankly, that is where the term or the expression, the figure of speech, ignorance is no excuse, comes in. Because it's a matter of being, frankly, willfully ignorant. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. We were created for his pleasure. But down through history, the people on the earth, including the chosen people of God, have caused God extreme displeasure more often than not. But then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Well, as in the days of old and former years, there were very few instances where Judah and Jerusalem gave God Almighty and his Holy Son Jesus any cause for pleasure. And I will come near to you to judgment. What about the kindness and mercy, tender enduring mercies and love, the meekness and mildness? What is all of this about judgment? It's what's coming. And not without cause. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness. Suddenly he shall come to his temple, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Hireling, do you mean like hireling ministers? No, I do not. Hireling here, where it is used by itself, is used to refer to hired hands, hired workers, hired ranch hands, hired farm hands, hired workers in the vineyard, talking about carnal vineyards, employees. Against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. That shortchange these people, that cheat them. Who would be in a position to do that? Employers, large or small. Against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, those that oppress the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. His right, we're talking now about entitlement, rights, privileges, you know, from the government or something. No. No, this is something very different. The stranger from his right to live before the Lord God Almighty and to be free from oppression. But the Lord Jesus shall come near to you to judgment and be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the psychics, those high and mighty mega church pastors that promote enneagrams, against the adulterers, against those that promote sexual immorality, corruption, depravity, perversity, that promote such things via public education, private education, entertainment of every sort. Nowadays, of course, including by media companies that have a reputation for providing clean, wholesome family entertainment. And against false swearers, these habitual liars, these who lie and deceive, all of these who serve Satan, the father of lies, the original and ultimate rebel against God, the original usurper, supplanter, the one who has warred against God, against his Christ, who has sought endlessly to undermine and overthrow God, to seduce God's servants, God's angels even, into committing mutiny against God. And of course, as many people on this earth as possible. And against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside this stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Against those who fear not God, How much of the modern Christian church do you imagine that includes? We don't believe in fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. We are not under bondage that we should fear. The Lord Jesus is coming suddenly and shall be a swift witness against those who fear not God Almighty and His Christ, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Well, if God Almighty changes not, how is it possible that so much of the church sees fit to disregard the Old Testament? How is that possible? You know, God Almighty, God of the Old Testament, is the God of judgment and fear. We reject that. We choose Jesus, loving Jesus. Even though Jesus is in complete, total agreement with God the Father. Even though Jesus was with God the Father at the creation of this earth, at the creation of this universe, at the creation of mankind, male and female. I am the Lord, I change not. Regardless how many high and mighty theologians claim otherwise, no matter how many pastors, ministers, evangelists, televangelists, Christian leaders, Christian teachers, leaders of denominations, and Roman Catholicism claim otherwise. God changes not. And yet, of course, we have Roman Catholicism pandering to and demagoguing, promoting sodomite agenda, among other things, among other evils. Small wonder when they promote Mary, the mother of Jesus, as being the goddess of heaven, the queen of heaven. And various other abominable claims they make concerning her. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. From the very beginning, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. God Almighty states He will return unto us if we return unto Him. But ye said, wherein shall we return? We don't need to repent. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. And where did that curse come from? Is that something that some witches concocted? No, interestingly enough, not. God Almighty cursed those who broke His word, broke His covenant, did not obey Him. He created the curse. He stated the curse. The blessing for those who would obey him and honor him, the curse for those who would rebel. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And how mighty a curse, seeing as the one that fashioned it, that created it, is none other than God Almighty, with his holy Son, Jesus Christ. And God the Spirit. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Jewry. Oh, well, thank goodness it only pertains to Jewry. No. Christianity. Unfortunately. All who have failed God exceedingly. In Jewry, in Christianity, yes. Interesting that any number of theologians would have us believe that we are the inheritors of the promises of good, the blessings, but that the curses don't pertain to us. That's in the Old Testament. Fascinating. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations throughout the world, all nations shall call you blessed or blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord. That again, fearing God. Thank goodness we're in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. Oh my, we don't have to worry about fearing God anymore. That's all passed away. Perfect love casteth out fear. We don't need to worry about that. We're not under condemnation. We are under grace, grace. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord God Almighty responded, how? He hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. and that thought upon his name. What a concept. You know, that's just so irrelevant for today's new and improved church, isn't it? It has no applicability. You know, it's not intentional, right? It's not pleasant. It's not entertaining. It's not enjoyable. It's not what we want to hear. That's old. That's antique. That's from antiquity. That is passé. Fear of God. We don't have any use for that. We are beyond that. We are so sophisticated. We know better than to fear God. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, God Almighty, for them that feared the Lord God Almighty and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Oh, we don't believe in that. We believe all are welcome. There but for the grace of God go I. We're all the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short. Right? Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, I admit, you and I, we don't have to believe God. We don't have to subscribe to his word. We don't have to obey him, honor him, fear him, love him, worship him, serve him. No, we don't. However, we cannot choose that path and misbehave that way with impunity. There is a comeuppance. There is a time of accountability, of judgment, and it is drawing near. Oh, I don't need to worry about that because I go to this church where the pastor, he is so enjoyable. He's so entertaining. And we have very pretty music and we have a great time. And certainly that's pleasing to God. It's a wealthy church. Oh, we're so prosperous. And the services are, you know, whatever they are, 40 minutes long, and there are four of them each morning on Sundays, you know, and oh, it's just a wonderful church. And we have all these wonderful ministries. Or I go to this church, oh, it's a magnificent church, and we have 100,000 people in attendance. And the most majestic music. And the most enjoyable, entertaining pastor. And he is just happy, happy, happy all the time. And he always has a happy, happy, happy message for us. And helps us all to be so prosperous and successful and to live life to the fullest, every moment to the fullest. So we don't need to worry about this, what you're talking about, because it just has no place for us, no relevance, no application. No utility. We know better. Our pastor knows better, and if he thought otherwise, he would tell us. And Dr. So-and-so, and this wonderful woman Bible teacher, and ad nauseum. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. What a concept. The idea that God will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. You see, that is a concept that is completely out of step with the ideologies that are promoted by the regimes, East and West, by a very great number of denominations of Christianity, by Jewry, by Roman Catholicism and others. But it happens to be God's word. God uses many different ways of testing people, even as Satan uses many different tools, schemes, mechanisms to attack God, to attack Christ, to undermine the church, to attack the Word of God, to attempt to destroy the Word of God, to subvert it, corrupt it, and pervert it, and thereby subvert and corrupt and pervert the people. But similarly, God Almighty uses many different ways of examining you and I. Some of them can be harsh and severe. Others can be very, very Liza's fairish. Just give them enough rope to hang themselves. Let them do as they please and see what they will do. Now the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 4, the conclusion of the book of Malachi. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The end of the prophets. So returning to the beginning of this last passage of Malachi and preceding by reading the last portion of the preceding passage. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Fascinating, this repetition, this emphasis, this exceedingly important emphasis that permeates the Word of God, not only in the book of Malachi, but frankly throughout the Old Testament, and also within the New Testament. Notably, within the book of Revelation, of God the Father to God the Son to his angel, to the beloved disciple, the Apostle John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James. Behold, the day that cometh. This is a day that has not come yet. This is not long ago, a millennia ago, or something else. Regardless what you may have been told, taught to the contrary. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. This day is drawing near, but it is not here. Oh my, we have all of these great activists, some of them children, all of these corporations, corporate giants, government regimes that would have us believe what these scientists who are enemies of God, ones that are enemies of God, ones that are devoid of faith in God and faith in Christ and faith in the Bible, the Word of God. These who teach us that global climate change, global warming. Oh, these things, these are man-made problems. that can be solved by people and must be solved, lest we perish. Well, what's coming is, in point of fact, much more severe and harsh. Than such things that they falsely prophesy concerning. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, you certainly could view this in at least a couple of ways. One, you could say, well, of course, we know the church is going to be raptured away. We've learned that since, you know, since we were babes. And our church taught that long before we were here. Yes, no doubt. Along with any number of other falsehoods. Oh, but we're going to be raptured away. The church will be raptured away. So yes, this makes perfect sense that the proud, those that do wickedly, they shall be stubble. There's another way to look at it, and that is that there's going to be a distinction that God Almighty will preserve those who fear Him, who worship Him in spirit and truth, from being consumed. But of course, that doesn't fit the pre-tribulation rapture theology. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Huh. How does that fit if the church has been raptured away? Is it just a momentary rapture and then God returns the church to the earth? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So, is this referring to the tribulation? Is it referring to the end of the tribulation as Christ's millennial reign begins? Or is it referring to something else? Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Very curious. Again, there are all these theologians that they just know it all, but very curious. First off, it states, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." And yet, God's word does not state that that prophet will have the name Elijah, does it? But that there shall be a messenger who shall prepare the way of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. That there shall be a prophet, that all who fail to hear and obey, which is included within the meaning of here, that they shall be punished. They shall be cut off from among their people. But again, back to these words, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Very strange. There's only one more sentence, well, actually portion of a sentence, the latter half of this sentence, before we move into the New Testament. So why doesn't God say, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the prophet whom I foretold"? Instead, he says, "Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." It fast forwards, it skips ahead over the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, over the past 2 millennia, to what is drawing very near, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which still doesn't come until the tribulation has concluded, in a manner of speaking, until the conclusion, until the end, the final act of the tribulation. "And he," Elijah the prophet, "shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Curious again, because the curse that was foretold and which the overwhelming majority of Jewry suffered, and which much of Christianity has suffered, that curse has been and is and also just, again, the way it's constructed, the way it's put together. "I will send you Elijah the prophet, not before the coming of the Lord, the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, who shall take away the sin of the world from those whom shall choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, worship him, honor him, serve and obey him. No. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's true. But it makes it sound like it's immediately before instead of a couple millennia before. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Again, that is so curious, isn't it? That Elijah the prophet, whom Jesus identified as John the Baptist, that he fulfilled this prophecy, that he came in the spirit of Elijah, that instead of turning the hearts of the children and the fathers to Jesus, that he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Maybe it's not mysterious to you, but I find it very mysterious. But we shall see. Heavenly Father, holy God, thy holy word, all of thy holy word, thy holy word throughout the Old Testament, throughout the prophets, who faithfully served thee, honored thee, glorified thee, worshiped thee in spirit and truth, were used by you to communicate your word, to minister your word to all who should choose to seek you. Lord God Almighty, cause the words to bring forth life in us by thy Holy Spirit. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming and to serve thee, to worship thee in spirit and truth, to glorify thy holy Son Jesus, to bear witness to the truth, to be used by thee as thou wilt, as thou choosest. Have thy way, Lord God. Have thine own way. Master, Savior, Lord and King, holy God. Praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' holy name. Soon coming, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.